Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and I'm here with Rajinder Balaraman, Director at Matrix Partners India. Also joining us in this episode today is Raghuram Taluri, founder of Loadshare Networks. Loadshare is an asset-light logistics platform. Rajinder, could you tell us a little bit about how you met Raghu and decided to partner on this journey with him together?
Sure, Saloni. Thank you. Actually, the story starts a little earlier than that. I'd heard of Raghu from friends in the network. I spoke with him when he was at Myntra to convince him to come on board at another portfolio company as a chief business officer. We had a good chat, I remember, and then at the end of it, you said, listen, really believe in startups, but most likely will end up building my own. And I think 6 or 9 months later, we actually reconnected when you decided to start Loadshare. Actually, you should talk more about yourself before we kind of dive into the Loadshare journey.
Sure. So, Saloni, Rajinder, thanks for having me over. I'm doing this for the first time, but I would love to go through and see what this holds and share some of my experiences in the whole journey of building Loadshare with you guys. I'm a tier three guy. I grew up in a place called Bapatla in the Guntur district, then stayed in Ranchi and in Dankuni. In total, I was just counting where all I've stayed and worked in, and that's around 20 states. But I'm now trying to build a logistics network in many of the places that I've stayed in. And so for me, entrepreneurship was not a first default choice. There's nobody in my family who's been an entrepreneur per se, family of public servants in that sense. And for me also, it was not that I had entrepreneurship as an objective that I started with. Just happened over time that I felt that there is coming together of a great opportunity that I started believing in. The desire to actually say that, look, I understand the basic toolkit, and I think there is something that I can now create from scratch, and the belief that, there is something that can be, that I can actually do it. I think these three things came together for me to jump into entrepreneurship.
So one question, Raghu, that came to mind when I was actually just putting notes together and doing research for this episode was, why the name Loadshare? What is the story behind choosing this name?
So it's an interesting one, and actually we put a lot of thinking behind this name. We had some working name, and one is a little deeper, but we personally feel very good with that connect. Is it rhymes with the whole code share, which is in the airline industry, the concept where an airline doesn't have to fly to all parts of the world by itself, but it can actually partner with other airlines to take you from point A to B, and the other partner airline takes you from point B to C. Each of the airlines are playing to their strength, and they're collectively adding value to themselves as well as to their customers. So that as a concept was quite appealing. And even now, the way we think about it is, we believe that we are kind of trying to build that code sharing platform on the logistics side, where we can partner with logistics companies, big and small, and help each of them play to their best strengths, and therefore collectively come out with an offering that adds a lot of value to the customer and to the individual logistics parties, right? So that's the genesis of the name. And so it's first time somebody is asking us and we're explaining it, but that's the origins of the name.
So Raghu, coming out of Myntra, I'm sure you had multiple ideas running through your mind. How did you narrow down and how did you land on the idea for Loadshare?
So for me, what I realized in my experience at Myntra was an exposure, very strong exposure to logistics. And I felt that there was a large number of SMEs in the logistics space who did all kinds of, let's say courier logistics, delivering bank account statements, credit cards. There would be small transporters who have a few trucks. But I felt that they were not being fully leveraged, right? So the idea looking at e-commerce supply chain and seeing all the sophistication that technology has driven in that, if we can take that and apply it to the larger world of logistics, which is even beyond e-commerce, and work with the small logistics partners and complement their strengths of having a presence all across India, having a very good local understanding, having a fantastic cost structure. And if you marry that with the strengths that I could bring to the table, which is on using technology, figuring out a professional way of working, and an ability to generate demand for them. So the combination could be could have the makings of an alternate logistics network, which could be bigger than what existing logistics networks are. I had a couple of other friends with whom I started discussing it, and we've at one point felt very convinced that this could this could actually be made to come to life. And so that's the genesis of the idea behind LoadShare.
How did you distill what you just said into a value prop that was clear for customers and partners?
Let's take partners first. I think the partner value proposition is we are providing them access to top-up demand in addition to what they're already working on. The quality of this demand is better than what they're able to generate for themselves. We are able to give them professional work practices hardwired through technology. And in effect, our partner value proposition, therefore, is to make them 10x bigger and better than what they are without compromising their identity. On the customer side, our value proposition is like any logistics shipper needs three things. They need reach to their destination, and they need a great service and cost trade-off, where we are 95% of the gold standard, but we are offering it at a 60% cost, right? So that's the sweet spot that we offer to many of our customers. We believe that there is a very large market for who values this particular service cost trade-off. In certain other segments, they don't like the service levels that they're getting. So we, based on different customer segments, we've been tailoring our offering so that we get that sweet spot.
Sure. So, but what would you say is the key differentiator of LoadShare, Raghu? And similarly, Rajinder, what did you see as like an edge that LoadShare had when looking to invest that set it apart from its competitors?
So I'll actually let Rajinder take that question and tell us what he saw in us which differentiated us.
No, so first and foremost, obviously, the team comes first. Second, I think the fact is that the logistics market in India is one of the largest markets out there. E-commerce logistics is one significant segment which is growing and, you know, which is doubling every 2 years. More than 3 million orders a day, roughly now. But there's also this vast ocean of B2B logistics where companies are looking to serve their customers and distributors in smaller towns across India. And honestly, service levels are broken. Structurally, there is an issue that drives this. The demand density in tier one cities in India and tier two cities in India allows for logistics companies to invest in assets being warehouses, transport, vehicles, people, and serve customers in a much more direct operator fashion. And to date, many of the large logistics companies, tech-enabled logistics companies, have been built on the back of this business model. When Raghu came and presented his vision for LoadShare, actually, it was very refreshing because he was actually talking of a different segment in the market altogether where the demand density was very different, where reach was a much bigger issue, where reach at an acceptable cost was a much bigger issue. And frankly, we saw that most of the economic growth, e-commerce growth, digital growth, frankly, we saw growth in tier two and tier three markets in India accelerating, becoming a much larger percentage of the overall market over the next 5 to 7 years. And a key component of that would be a company like LoadShare being able to fulfill the demand that was getting generated. Honestly, you know, between the team and the fact that, you know, this is the big market opportunity over the next 5 to 7 years, it was a no-brainer for us. And we're privileged to be in business with Raghu, Pramod, Rakeb, and the entire team. We've been spending time with all of them over the last two, three years. And honestly, the insight and the commitment they have to the business is just outstanding.
Raghu, would you agree, would you concur that this is your key USP or key offering that sets you apart from competitors?
Yeah, so I think just to maybe step back as to when we started the company, what were a set of beliefs that we had. And the biggest belief that we had was that logistics assets exist, right? So it's not a problem of assets not existing, but a problem that the logistics assets are not being managed optimally. To be very specific, I think the way we differentiate ourselves is, number one, the fact that we are a supply-first platform. So we think that in India, demand is not the challenge, like Rajinder said. It's a problem statement of who's going to get the demand across to the customer, the end customer, in the most acceptable cost-wise and service-level-wise manner, right? So that's why we said, let's think about how do we get the right supply partners on board and how do we create a very compelling proposition for them.
Sure.
So that's one. The second one, I think, is a important differentiator because, again, the belief that me and Pramod and Rakeb, we have is that we believe that logistics in India is a problem overall, but it is much more acute in a regional manner. There are many large and, you know, high-performing logistics companies that are coming up in the national scale, which are working on the trunk lanes. We want to be that company that is really attacking the problem where it is more acute, which is at a regional level. So we are building a regional logistics business, and that could be, for example, working in solving the logistics problem ex Guwahati for entire Northeast. It could be from ex Patna for entire Bihar or ex Kolkata for entire West Bengal. And thirdly, I think what we've realized is that basis our background in B2C commerce, we said, look, there is obviously a lot of growth and opportunity there, but there's a very large world of B2B logistics. And I think what we've tried to do, which is unique, is to marry both of them. It could be large shipments that, for example, an FMCG giant would ship from its manufacturing location to its distributor, to its warehouse, to its retailer. So we serve clients who are B2B clients as well as B2C clients. And so far we've seen mostly the logistics companies who've chosen to be either B2B or B2C. And we feel if we were to take the B2C network and the B2C sophistication, the way of working, B2C, I mean e-commerce, and apply that and try and leverage that for doing B2B. And because you're able to get synergies and you're able to allay your fixed costs, you're able to get a great proposition for cost. So that I would say those are the three big differentiators that Loadshare has vis-a-vis other conventional forms of doing logistics.
How do you think about building a team for executing this opportunity?
We're building for Bharat. And that comes with its own set of unique challenges. It's not easy for saying, okay, your team member has to be sent to Nagaland or is to work in Nagaland for some time, right? And I think the only way to do it is if you are able to, one, create a vision which is very, very compelling for them. And the second thing is, which is equally important, is to you have to role model it yourself, right? So we've basically, Rakib, my co-founder, is actually relocated from Delhi to set up our whole Northeast network. Pramod, who's our CTO, actually spends a lot of time on the ground kind of seeing how technology is being adopted. I've personally gone and spent a lot of time, in fact, to the extent that I've gone and sat across a local goon to say, look, you know, who was holding up our shipments and say, look, you know, you got to give our shipments. This is something that we've never done in our life, but it was important for us to do. And also there's a part of it which is you have to hire people who are up for the challenge. So that's been something that's worked for us.
How did you go about the process of actually attracting this team that you just mentioned?
So this is the hardest part of, not just for us, but for, I think, most entrepreneurs that I speak and I connect with. You have to tap into your networks. They are often the best source of people that you can get on board. I think the amount of help that we've got from both our investors, Matrix and Stellaris, on identifying the right people and actually helping us, that has been a phenomenal amount of help that we've got. So I think no easy answers on this.
When did you know that the business model was truly working in the sense of PMF?
Actually, I'll jump in on that one. I think, honestly, you never know exactly when. You have to create value for partners and you have to create value for customers. And what it means for customers is lower cost with improved or comparable service levels. And the second point is whether this is translating into a unit economic model that actually works for the company to be able to create value long term. Too many logistics companies have delivered value to either side of the marketplace without ever figuring out a real unit economic model. And I think what's unique and sets Loadshare apart is because it's been asset light from day one, and because they've always had this vision to work with local logistics companies who have that reach and lowest cost in their local market, I think the gross margin profile of this business has always been very, very attractive, and that's credit to you.
So I think Rajinder said, I think hit it right on the head by the fact that the concept of PMF is that it is it's an evolving concept, right? So there is, and you have to keep iterating at it, because what is PMF, what fit you've got for this particular scale, that might not work for a larger scale. So you have to keep iterating. But if I look at some markers of what is PMF for us, right? The fact that in the beginning, when we made a plan for how do we get partners on board, we said we've put a lot of feet on street who are going to identify the partners and get them on board, etc. But what ended up happening is organically, we had a large pipeline of partners up front who were coming and who said that, look, okay, we want to be a part of the network. So that for us was one aha moment, or one moment where we said, look, there is at least PMF on the supply side of the marketplace. The other marker for a PMF on for us was that there were customers who were saying, hey, look, we want your help in this particular area or on this particular part of the supply chain. And I think if I summarize it, I think there's no better indicator of product market fit than the traction that you're delivering, right? So the fact that you're able to create revenues and you're able to continuously grow revenues and you're able to see that across various geographies and you're able to see, you know, in line with that, unit economics for the company also being healthy, then that's at least a good marker that where you are, there is a good semblance of a product market fit.
So what would you say, Raghu, have been your the highlights or reflections of working with Matrix, Solaris?
So we just don't look at investors as providing capital. We also look at tapping into their ability to dispassionately look at the business, to think about the business from first principles, to share with us from their pattern recognition across various different companies that they've seen who have gone, who are much further in the life cycle than we are, and give us good objective guidance on what can we do better. In particular, I think there's one point when I think about what was the place where really this came alive for us is maybe 6 months back or so, we had a situation where we were thinking about, are the unit economics headed in the right direction or not, right? Or can we do better? And there was a question of saying, do we need to grow or do we need to improve our unit economics? And at that time, the guidance that I got was on that we need to make sure that our unit economics are really getting to best in class, right? Because that's a very important proposition for a logistics company. We've started working on that. And I can tell you in hindsight, that was a fantastic piece of advice because the company is fundamentally much healthier because of that particular push that came from investors. And we've been privileged to have that opportunity working with Matrix and Stellaris on that front.
Raghu, I'm sure building load share takes most of your time, but outside of work, what do you enjoy doing?
So I've always been, right from early years, been very, very interested in sports. And I started doing some marathon kind of stuff in between. And then I felt that there is some variety that's needed in sports. So I took up doing some triathlons. I just got completely hooked on to open water swimming, which is swimming in a sea or a lake, which is a very different experience as coming from swimming in a pool. And as I think about it, comparison between a job and entrepreneurship is very similar to swimming in a pool versus swimming in the open water. For example, you don't, when you're swimming in a pool, you always have a place to hang on to if you're getting tired or if you just want a break. When you are out in the sea, there is nothing to hold on to. There is no limit to the depth of the depth compared to like in a pool, it's a much more safe confines in that sense. And there are many other external forces, currents that you actually are exposed to and you have to maneuver around that. You have to get comfortable with that and you have to maneuver around that rather than a pool where there's a safety net and there is, you know, there is no such risk. But the fundamentals of it is that you need to know how to swim well, right, whether in a pool or not.
If you had to leave with one piece of advice for our listeners of building load share,
yeah, so I think for me, if I have to reflect on what's been the hardest part in this whole journey, I think the realization that the buck stops with you, right? So it's a, and like in open water swimming, there are no edges to grab at, right? And you have to be radically honest to yourself. You have to keep marrying what you want to do in the long-term vision with the day-to-day realities. You have to understand what things you can influence versus where you have to drift along a little bit and which problems you can solve now and which ones you have to sidestep, right? So I think that candidness and honesty with yourself to say, look, you know, this is what I can do and this is how I kind of don't delude myself into thinking that with just the long-term vision, but keep very, very, be very, very grounded. I think that's very, very hard and that's something that I keep trying to do quite a bit. The other one that I'd say, and this is the part on advice to anybody who's starting off is this is a lonely and a tough journey. So you have to surround yourself with one, you need to be very, very passionate and clear that this is a problem statement that truly excites you and that you will go any lengths to solve, right? And the second part of it is that you need to in this journey, you need to have with you the right set of people who will be with you. In my case, I've been exceptionally lucky to have Pramod and Rakib as co-founders in this whole journey. You have somebody to bounce off with and kind of collectively come out with solutions when they're going to get stuff. Also, I would say getting the right set of people who can add value to you in the business overall as business partners. It could be investors, whoever. I think it's very important to line that up and make sure that you have the best, you know, flying formation for tackling that particular problem the way you want to do it is, I think, absolutely critical. And in my case, I think I also want to call out that having a supportive family, because it's a very tough job just making sure that you have the right family construct and family setup that kind of allows you to go out and do this, I think is equally important.
Thanks, Raghu. Thank you for taking out the time. We appreciate you doing this with us. And thanks, Rajinder, for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
Thanks, Saloni and Rajinder. I think it was fun doing this. Hope it's been interesting, if not helpful, to people and the listeners.
Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.